I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight, a low within a few degrees of 40. Increasing clouds for tomorrow, there could be a shower in the late afternoon and evening. Highs in the upper 50s to around 60. And again around 60 on Wednesday and partly sunny. It's 67 right now.
Afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to Playmakers. Let's get it going. Hope y'all are having a great Monday afternoon out there. Got your host, James. Over to my right, Michael Comer.
How you doing, bud?
Doing good. How you doing, man?
Tired.
Yeah, I feel that. It's already Monday? I mean, it's only Monday?
Yeah, I think I'm going to turn in my resignation for the week.
Yeah, that's a good call. Good call. Done. You wrap up this hour, you're good.
Yep.
I'll write you a note for all your other buttons.
Yes.
We have got plenty to talk about today. We want to talk about it with you. Hit us in the number, 715-424-2600. Call up, join the conversation, everybody. A ton of things we could talk about. So whatever you want to get to, we will. It's your show. Call up and join the conversation. Big thank you to Quality Plus Printing, giving us the opportunity to do that week in, week out, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Buy local, support local, head on over there for all your printing needs. We're going to talk some head coach changings, maybe a new head coach phrase that I heard over the weekend, Michael. Got a couple of things like that. But I want to get whatever you're thinking, too, takeaways you have from the weekend of sports. But I don't know the last time I had this happen where I got to sit back and watch two games, and both of them being very, very good games. And one of them in particular, one I don't think I'll ever forget. I got to watch the Mariner-Detroit game Friday. Now
I missed a bunch of that.
I had 100 other things going on. I wasn't just sitting there, watching the game, eating bonbons or anything.
Okay. Bundy.
Any chance to make it? Any reference I can to make to Married with Children. Our theme song was almost the same theme song.
Should have been.
I got to see most of the game, in particular the extra innings, which went to 15 for anybody that did not hear.
Now I did see most of that.
Was that exciting? That fun? It wasn't, it wasn't what you write in a movie. It wasn't what you write even in a TV show or something like that. But it was real. And if you like baseball, it was everything you could ask for out of baseball.
Yep. Who's going to screw up first?
Yeah, is what it kind of comes down to, because these guys are up there. And by inning 12, you could tell that they got nothing left. There's the only thing that's still awake is their brains. Their bodies are done. Mm-hmm. Every one of these guys' bodies done. So what you're seeing if from pretty much the extra innings on, but especially from the 12th inning on, that's what I'll speak to for sure, is you're seeing who's wants it out of their, whose brain wants it the most, not your body. Whose brain is going to be able to stay focused just long enough, 2-3 seconds to make the key hit, to be able to advance the runners or hit a home run or something like
right.
that. And I think that one of the best things about this for me, I got a lot of games that could have been my favorite, but my team didn't win.
Yeah.
The last Super Bowl the Bears were in started out great. Started out awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was very excited. Spoiler alert. But this game, what was different for me is I don't have a lot of games like this where I had nobody in the race. I don't hate Detroit. Had Detroit won? Okay, fine. Detroit hasn't done it in a long time. I was rooting for the Mariners, but I didn't really have, if Detroit had won, especially once it got to extra innings, it's like, hey, whoever gets this earns it, you know? If I was a Mariner fan and they had lost, I wouldn't hold my head down
right.
any more than I think Detroit should, who re-upped A.J. Hinch, and now we're looking at a long-term deal with Skubal. That's the latest news on them. That game ending the way it did with Polanco in just a simple hit is exactly how it needed to end.
Yep.
It was perfect. It was fantastic. And it was something that it got me thinking, and I wasn't the only one because MLB did a whole article on this. It got loud in that stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And Seattle's kind of known for this. They have a couple of times, you know, they got the whole 12th man thing they kind of stole, you know, as far as the Seahawks go and everything.
Yep. Texas A&M. Yep.
Yeah. And you know, certainly there's a couple of others because if you go to MLB.com and they got this great article there, you'll see it right away where they're breaking this down of what, so it was the round before, I believe, that they actually had some people come down there to be able to check the metric meters and see the rank, how much this really hit the marker. I can't think of the name of it right now. I had it right
the
before.
The decibel meter.
Thank you. So that Marshawn Lynch's run.
Yeah, the beast quake.
Right. Hit a 2.0. This did not hit quite that.
Oh, you're talking seismology.
Thank you. Yes.
Okay, you're talking sound with decibels.
I know, but I had the wrong word in my head, and I didn't want to say the wrong word.
Depending on who you ask, I've got a lot of wrong words in my head. So.
I hear you, bro. At least we don't talk for a living.
Yeah, that's right.
That was amazing to me to see that. It wasn't quite a 2.0, but it was pretty far up there, and they were able to break down every time a big moment happened in the stadium. Thought that was pretty cool. That was a nice. I know baseball is crazy about its stats and everything, but that was one that I was actually kind of cool about. It's also quite amazing when you look at the box score. And you see in there, the 15th inning, Polanco single to right, Crawford scored, Rodriguez to second, Arozarena to third.
Yep.
That's the difference.
Yep.
That's all.
Yep.
Just as simple as that.
Yep.
And God, I don't know, man. I fell back in love with baseball at the worst time because they're going to be going on strike next year.
I've had some pretty good conversations about that lately.
It frustrates me because it's in the back of my head. And I didn't think about it that game, I'll say. It's not constant or anything like that. But, boy, is it awfully close to right there where I'm all excited about what's happening with a lot of these teams and everything. And honestly, I really don't mind any scenario at this point that happens. I think we got a lot of talent, a lot of fun, exciting players. And if you enjoy the World Series like I do, I think you're going to have something to watch no matter what. But, at the back of my mind, it's like, is this the last World Series for a year or two? Is this it's the one thing that we don't talk about with these strikes, and especially given that it's been so long since we had one.
94?
It's, oh my God, okay, so 1994. Go ahead and look up the average MLB salary in 94 and look at it now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these guys, it used to just be, well, the millionaires can sit back and just wait because they got plenty of money. The players need the money more than the owners do and stuff. Well, now the players got plenty of dang money, man. You got a guy not even batting 200 in baseball making thousands and thousands of dollars. So what does he care about going on strike for a couple of months or a year? These guys got enough money now where they can put their money where their mouth is. This standoff could actually be something this time instead of it just being this weighted thing of ownership versus blue-collar players, because we forget all the time, these are athletes. They're using their bodies. That's blue-collar. That's the work. They don't get a blue-collar paycheck. They get a white-collar paycheck.
Yep.
But it's important to note that, I think, whenever we're talking about this stuff, especially outside of baseball contracts, which are usually guaranteed.
Yeah.
You said you got to see some of the game. What'd you think?
Well, I just saw the extras, and it was because I was in Nakusa for that. Wonderful. That was a fun one on Friday night.
Yeah.
The Nakusa football game.
It's a great game.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy how that one went too. But that baseball. I got to maybe to where I could watch around 11th inning, maybe 12th, and we're watching that. I'm watching that, and I'm like, man. This is a marathon now, and it's almost going to be two full games that they're playing. And I'm like, well, someone's going to run out of arms soon.
Right.
Someone's going to run out of arms. There's no way around that. And then right when you saw Detroit load up the bases and everything that goes with it, Seattle loaded up the bases, the guy sitting by me says, well, that's all she wrote for Detroit in the single, and there you have it. So, I mean, it was neat to watch. I mean, you can, oh, no, Detroit's got a runner on second here. And I like in the playoffs, they did away with that guy on second. I love that because I hate that. I absolutely hate it.
One of the dumbest things I've ever heard in sports. Easily. One of the dumbest things I've ever heard in sports. The whole guy on second thing. Yep. Just ridiculous.
I mean, I could see it. I could see it in like a high school level or a college level.
Or the Savannah Bananas or something.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But I don't. If you're a professional.
No.
Come on.
No.
And I know what they're doing. They're trying to get teams to save arms and save injury for the whole season. Because 162 is a grind and blah, blah, blah. The playoffs, no. Do not do that. And I'm glad they don't.
I'm excited. All that said, and then I'm expecting, okay, well, Seattle can pretty much just count out game one. I mean, they got to be dead after that one.
No,
go out there and win game one. You never know baseball. You never know. You never know sports. That should be an exciting series. Playoffs, looking pretty good. We'll have some time to talk about this. And, of course, tonight you got a big one going on right here in state, which is pretty darn cool. Dodgers Brewers series is everything you kind of want if you don't have anybody in the race. If you're just kind of sitting back and you love storylines, I think you've got so many just low-hanging fruit storylines here, along with ones that are just kind of interesting. And I think that'll be kind of cool. We'll have plenty of time to talk about that, but I want to actually, as Michael and I are not necessarily Brewer people, I want to leave the phone lines open to Brewer fans to call in and talk about it. I want to hear what you think, and I want to know how you felt after that game. Because it's a little, we talked about this with the Yankees and Red Sox. Yankee season is over. They got nothing to hang their hat on. But they are, because they're Yankee fans and they beat the Sox. And maybe they didn't win the World Series, but I guarantee you that Yankee fans, all they're going to talk about all offseason is the fact that they beat the Red Sox. And it's no different with the Brewers and Cubs. Whatever happens for the Brewers going forward, you got that to hang your hat on, and that's got to feel pretty darn good. I want to hear from you guys out there. But, Michael, I did want to get to one real quick thing regarding baseball before we get to college football and all that. I am a big fan of the old arms, the arms that we will probably not see anymore. We've talked about this, you and Seth and
six,
I.
Going 6-7-8.
Kershaw and Verlander, and of course, the warrior god, Max Scherzer. Max Scherzer is on the Toronto Blue Jays, for those that don't know. And this is his, he has a chance to be a part of his sixth run for a ring. He's a two-time World Series winner, but he has a chance at a sixth. And out of all these guys, and those three names that I mentioned, and they're kind of the last of this bulldog, this Oral Hershiser, kind of like that pitcher and everything, he's the one that stands out to me so much. I know all these guys, except for Kershaw, have played for other teams. Verlander hasn't been looked at as a kind of like an assassin for hire or anything. Scherzer more than him.
Yeah.
But Verlander, not that much different than Scherzer in this regard. The thing I love about it is that Max Scherzer makes no apologies about it. Max Scherzer's just like, well, hey, my original team didn't want me, so now who wants me? You're gonna win a World Series? Let's go for it. Let's do it. I want more rings. And as long as he can literally hear 85 on the gun, he's gonna be out there doing it. And God bless him for it. Both of his discolored eyes and everything.
It's love of the game.
I love seeing players like that, and I'm happy that he's this far along and everything. It should be kind of cool. We were talking about we were gonna get into coaches being fired here a little bit ease into, but before we do, we got one retiring. Mike Schilt for the San Diego Padres has retired.
Yeah.
Now, I've seen Schilt throughout the season, and man, you got to be careful with that name. And I, 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 he, I don't want to say mean, because God knows that I don't, I'm way past my prime as far as looks go, and I don't know how old I look to people. But I've seen this man quite a bit over the last two seasons, and I would have thought, seeing the headline, he's retiring, the game has stressed him out, it's taken a toll, according to him, his quote.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that makes sense. He's in his mid to late 60s.
Yeah.
He's 57.
Oh, no.
He's 57. Like, get out, man. It ain't worth it.
I mean, you know, like Dusty Baker, La Russa, or Lasorda. I mean, they they looked their age.
Right.
You know, I get that. With Schilt, no, he's a young man yet. And what stinks with Schilt is I've got nothing but respect for the guy. I think he kind of was, I wouldn't say done dirty by St. Louis, but I think he was. Well, they should have tried harder to keep him.
I would have liked to have seen him.
But at the same time, now I look back at it, after everything, the dust settled, you signed him to a contract for how long, and now he retires. But he's doing it, from what we can tell, the right ways. It's too much. It's too physical, too much mentally, too much physically. I mean, you got to think all these decisions, all these choices rest onto that manager.
Yeah.
How many get ulcers? How many of them do have drinking problems? How many of them do have smoking issues or chew or whatever to help deal with the stress? You know what I mean? And it's like, if he's admitting it's too much for him, not saying we need to change game or anything, but just, man, you got to take a step back and realize what all they got to do.
When's the last time you came across a professional, not on a high school level or something like that, but on a professional level, a well-adjusted coach? I don't believe that if in order to get to that level, I don't know if it exists. You have to be. I understand this on a level of what there are literally thousands and thousands and thousands of people out there trying to do my job. There are so many people standing right behind me waiting to do my job. And then there's what I do on the other end of my career in acting, where there are literally a million people behind me trying to do my job. I get the pressure. I get the need to not only fight for it and what it means to actually get one of those few jobs and hang on to it, but to also keep it. The difference of that. It's not enough to get the job.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to keep the job? It wasn't enough for me to be in the Screen Actors Guild. I want to stay in the guild. I want to make dang sure that I am always in that guild until my last breath. I see why it takes that obsession to get there. I'm not judging it by any means. It's just wild to me the things that we choose to do with our lives, when there are plenty of non-stressful things that we could do to make a good living and everything, but yet we don't get to choose this, I don't think. I don't think that this is necessarily a choice. James Franklin is $49 million richer, according to the reports. I haven't seen anything definitive, but it's around there. I've seen as high as 52. I've seen as low as 49.
Yeah, I saw something like 56, but unless I'm thinking of Jimbo Fisher.
I just thought I'd bring up for the heck of it and everything. I don't know why I was even thinking about this or anything, but Luke Fickell's buyout, if anybody was wondering about that and everything, if you had not seen or heard for a while, he is Fickell's contract calls for him to be owed 80% of what's remaining on his initial deal at season end. He will have 4 years and approximately $31.5 million left on his seven-year contract he agreed to in November 2022. That would put his season-ending buyout figure at $25 million. In comparison, if you're Luke Fickell and you were feeling pretty good before the James Franklin news, after that news, you got to be putting a for sale sign out, right? I mean, it's pretty much, that's almost a done deal. If Penn State, and not to say that Penn State and Wisconsin have the same purse, the same wallet, but I do think that if they're going to spend that money on James Franklin, I have no doubt in my mind that Wisconsin is not going to blink an eye at spending that money on Luke Fickell, especially if we got this, we talked about this last week on Friday's show, $2 billion that's going to be going into the Big Ten. That's what we're being told. What do you think is going on behind the table and everything? You can almost double that. So that kind of money's coming into the Big Ten. Wisconsin, Penn State, I don't care who you are. If you're a head coach, I hope you're renting. I don't care if your last name's Paterno. I hope you're renting, because I don't know any job that could be safe anymore. And I don't think you're going to see a James Franklin again. I don't think you're going to see this particular type of coach that can get by on 7 to 10 wins a year and maybe never win the big game, but he's a good recruit, and he's a factory builder. I'm not saying James Franklin's going to find a job. He might find a job by the end of the week. He's a program builder. He did it in Vanderbilt. Right. He'll do it over here. If he goes to a place with not big expectations, sky's the limit for him. He can do a lot. He just does not need expectations. Don't give him expectations. He's fine. I don't know. You're going to see a guy get, 12 years he had at Penn State?
Something like that.
I don't know the next time we're going to see that, even with a successful coach, even with a coach who is doing well, because chances are they may want to move on to another challenge.
It's going to be 2 to 4 years. It's going to be like politics with elections. It's going to be 2 to 4 years.
It's hilarious to me that what ended the James Franklin era was not going to UCLA and being beaten by an 0-4 UCLA team that did not have a lead throughout the whole season until they played Penn State. All it took was losing to Northwestern. It's all it took. As I joked about with my mother, a Northwestern alum and all that and everything.
You killed them.
We just thought that was pretty darn hilarious. So be it. I don't feel bad for him. I don't feel bad for any coach that loses their job at this level. You're a big boy. You know what you signed up for. You're getting paid millions of dollars. You're the highest paid per state employee in the state. Mm-hmm. If you can't get the job done, see ya. I think that the only thing that I would have a problem with this most, or I would have a real problem with this if I was a Penn State fan, is not getting rid of him at the end of last year, but the year before that. What he did was what a lot of coaches do. He makes a nice run. They got into the college football playoff last year. They fooled a lot of people. Oh, they got a lot of talent coming back. Oh, this is a better team than we think on paper. And he never proved it. Like a big problem for me about the top 25 before down has even been played in college football is that
unrealistic expectations.
They give it to them just because, well, on paper it looks good, or we have a theory, or no. What about the team that just won last year, the team that finished second and third and all this and everything? Like, if you want to do a true telling of that, that's all the data you need. Obviously, year from year, these teams change. But to go on anything else is madness.
I've always, with college, there's so much what have you done lately. And this kind of trends into, in what your point, kind of into the NFL of you got a contract here. You're going to go all out, save that job, get another extension out of it. And there's people talking about that with LaFleur, with policy and Gutekunst already stretching it to that point. Mm-hmm. So it still applies. Is making the playoffs isn't good enough. The second in the division isn't good enough. We want to win. You keep, and that's what the universities are doing. They're showing the kids and they're showing the donors, we're tired of mediocrity, even though that is 11 wins a game or 11 wins a year. We're tired of it. We want to win the whole thing, which is getting harder and harder and harder and harder to do, and you need more and more and more to bounce your right way. Because honestly, it's a crapshoot. It's luck.
Yeah,
it is, and it's showing the at the college level, it's showing the donors and the recruits that we take winning very seriously, and if you don't win, you're gone.
Yeah.
And that's a double-edged sword there, because it's going to hurt the recruiting.
Yeah, that's one of the things that you really see that affects these jobs. Franklin was losing recruits; they were decommitting.
Starting to, yeah.
You're seeing it in Wisconsin as well.
Oh, there's one today I saw.
Yeah, Michael, you are going to have people that are going to support cookies over brownies. You're just going to have it in life.
Well, I do.
Kurt Cinghetti is a quote machine that, like, we have not seen in quite some time. The Indiana football coach, before he even coached it down, was already rallying up people and getting things going and stuff. I think if you've been paying attention to his career, he's a guy that is kind of hard not to root for. I kind of dig his way of coaching. He's a little old school while also being a player's coach. Yep. I don't know how he's walking that line, but he's doing a darn good job at it. at it. Comes to Indiana, makes them respectable last year, but nobody really believes them. This year's team,
they were supposed to be way different this year.
Right.
They had lost so much, and they're like, well, it was nice while it lasted, Indiana. Not so fast, my friend.
Right, right.
Oh, boy.
Because I'm going in, I want to watch that Oregon game, and everything that I was expecting out of Penn State, I got out of Indiana.
Yeah.
In Oregon, not in Penn State during a whiteout or whatever.
It was in Bloomington. It was in Eugene.
It was in Eugene. And Kurt Cengetti and that team went there and punched him in the mouth.
Repeatedly.
That is one of the fastest, prettiest, wildest teams to watch, Oregon. They got an amazing offense.
I want to see.
It was just stopped dead in the mud.
When do they play Ohio State this year? Or will it be in the title game?
I think Indiana, Ohio State. No, wait a minute. I got to double check. I'll check during the break. So they get through this game and a great victory. That was the second game that I saw this weekend that I thought was just the two best games I saw this weekend were those two. And Cengetti's getting interviewed afterwards, and he is so like where Matt LaFleur and a lot of these guys act like they're smarter than the person asking the questions, and they don't want to answer questions and all this, the Greg Popovich kind of thing and stuff. It's kind of old. Cengetti, you can tell he doesn't necessarily want to do this, but at the same time, he's being respectful to the person asking questions.
Yes.
He's being human. He's being a little bit sarcastic, a little dry humor and everything, but he's reading the announcer. I've seen him enough times where he plays differently to every person that talks to him, and I think he does a masterful job of it, to the point that he gave me my new favorite metaphor. You're going to have people supporting cookies over brownies. Like, sometimes, I don't know what it means, Michael, but I love it. I like the phrase. I like it. It's a fun phrase. I don't know what it means, but I'm going to use it all the time, and especially when it makes no sense. If I don't know how to answer a question, I'm just answering it that way from now on. I don't know what we're going to do here. We're in serious trouble. Well, I'm telling you, sometimes you're going to have people supporting cookies over brownies.
And
they're going to walk out of the room.
All right.
I'm going to run away from whatever problem that is. We are going to take a timeout in a moment here. When we come back, we got the fourth period for you. GM, head coach, Coach Paul going to be joining us, talk some River Kings. Want to get into how the showcase was and a couple of other things with him, Michael. But some news broke before we came in today. We were just keeping in the college football talk and Penn State talk. They've been asking current Nebraska coach Matt Rhule.
I wondered where he went.
If he was interested in the job. Just straight up, bluntly. No, you know, hiding it or anything. And Matt Rhule did a lot of the similar way you would answer this question in his position. Well, I really love Nebraska, but I'm you know, leaving the door open. And I want a new rule here. I want a new rule, okay? And no pun intended with it being rule, but we can go ahead and call it the R-H-U-L-E if you want.
Yeah.
We just got done talking last week about a portal for players.
Yep.
They can't leave without in or out of the portal.
Yep. Coaches too.
Coaches portal. I want a coaches portal. I want a coach's frame where a coach can leave and okay, we're cool with this because this person has worked very hard and they deserve to seek better opportunities. We don't get mad at people in the business sector that want to take a raise and take a job higher up or something. So I'm not going to be mad at the coach for doing this. But the idea that we hold these players to a standard that not one single coach in all of coaching holds themselves to, that's one of the most hypocritical things, especially when we're trying to teach these people to be good young men and enter into society.
And what it's got to do is got to be after the bowl game, after the title, or whatever it is, and before the major recruiting signing days.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's a perfect time frame, but I almost don't care when it is. I just want that as a thing. I want that in law that you can't just be one of these you can't be Jerry Kill telling your players and your current recruits, next year recruits, hey, we're going to get them next year. Hey, we're going to do this next year. And literally an hour and 10 minutes later, you and your wife are in a car heading to Minnesota.
Yep.
I'm done with it. I am never going to get mad at one single player until this changes.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. Matt Rhule has, to me, I would not trust him if he told me this guy was blue.
I've never really trusted him anyways.
No, to be fair. Yeah, he's kind of a bad example, actually. But I don't care who the coach is. There's plenty of coaches I respect and I like in college football, including the one I was just rambling about in Kurt Cengetti.
Yep.
You know how much I believe Kurt Cengetti? Not a darn bit. Not a darn bit. I don't believe any of them. And I think he's a good guy. I think he's a stand-up guy. But I still can't trust him because every one of these guys are like this. Because guess what? That's human nature. I get it. I don't have any problem with that. Mm-hmm. It's the way you handle it. It's right. The way you don't own
right.
it.
Right.
I think a portal would do that. I think a time frame where a coach could leave and not. We all know they're having conversations outside
oh,
anyway.
God.
Man,
yeah.
You know, what's the big deal? I say let them do it that way. What would be the – how would that be hurting them? How would that be really interfering with their job? I think that there's a realistic reason for it. And yep. I would like to see it. It will happen when pigs fly. It will happen then.
I've heard there's been advancements in that
and
technology.
If one day there's breaking news and researchers, we have now gotten pigs with wings. Pigs are literally flying. How many things are going to be like haywire? Like how many things are going to become true that were never going to be true? But everybody was saying, well, when pigs fly.
Well, I mean, Jessica Simpson with buffalo and wings. I mean,
we will take a quick time out. We'll come back and we'll have some a fourth period for you, everybody. Coach GM, Coach Paul, going to join us from your Wisconsin Rapids and River Kings. Coming up right here on Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, where we speak sport.
Your brand has the power to hit harder than a Grand Slam champion. And Wicked Awesome Media is here to bring the heat. From custom pens and mugs to branded apparel and swag that serves up serious style, Wham! Delivers championship-level creativity that helps your business crush the competition. Swing by Quality Printing Plus on 8th Street in Wisconsin Rapids or visit whaminc.com. That's WAMINK.com. Wham! Helping brands smash their goals and win every match.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Building confidence and changing lives every day. The SWC YMCA is here for your family, located in the heart of Wisconsin Rapids. Welcome fall with a splash by attending the group swimming lessons provided for all ages. It might be cool outside, but it's always warm inside the pool. Go online today at www.swcymca.org for class information and sign up. The SWC YMCA is here for all ages, from youth to silver sneakers, where a healthy way of living is everything the YMCA supports. Come start your health journey together.
What's the spookiest country song? Help Country Favorites and Classics 105.5 WIRI find out. Each day starting Monday, October 20th, go to WIRI.FM to see which two songs are going head-to-head. Vote for the one you think is the spookiest, and the winner will go on to the next round. On Halloween, we'll reveal the spookiest country song ever. So steady your nerves and go to WIRI.FM starting October 20th and vote for the spookiest country song of all time.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight, a low within a few degrees of 40. Increasing clouds for tomorrow, there could be a shower in the late afternoon and evening. Highs in the upper 50s to around 60. And again around 60 on Wednesday and partly sunny. It's 69 degrees right now.
Welcome back, everybody. Playmakers here on 105.5 WIRI. We speak sport. Shout out to Quality Plus Printing. We appreciate the gang over there, of course, sponsoring this hour and letting us hang out. And Michael and I hanging out right now during the fourth period with our good friend, GM, head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul Peckman, with us right now. How you doing, man?
Doing great.
Thanks a lot for being here, Coach. Especially long weekend. Long weekend for you guys. For those that didn't know, the River Kings were up out east for the Hitman Classic, the showcase there. While you were up there, and again, for those that don't know, Coach, that's his stomping grounds. Did you get to see any family, get to do anything over there, or was it straight business?
I did. No, my goddaughter came out to see me.
Right on.
So we spent, she'd come watch all the games and got time to spend with her afterwards, so it was nice.
Good to hear. Good to hear. Yeah. Coach, one of the things that I talked about with some fans over the weekend, and one of them in particular is new to hockey. and really learning the sport, and I would say has been for the last five or six seasons. I've seen him at Kings games a couple times and everything. I'm trying to turn him into a Blackhawk fan, if I'm being honest with everybody. We need him. We're losing many fans. When it comes to these kind of tournaments, this showcase, what happens? How does this work? How many teams are there? How many rounds are there? How does it work out? And what do you know of it? Because each one of them are different. That's one of the things I was trying to explain to him.
A showcase is their league games, right? So it's not, there's not going to be a championship, right? Everybody goes there to play four games. And it just usually, you're going to play different teams in different divisions. That's the whole point of going there, playing other divisions, and for the recruiting process, right? So it's how you do personally, individually as a team. How well you do, right? And so you got four games, and you play usually in 3 days. So one day you're going to play two games, which was tough, a tough way for us to start the weekend.
But, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So overall, how did you feel the experience was for you and the team?
Listen, we did exactly what I hoped we would do, right? The minimum was 2-2, which we did. And the way that we finished in the last two games, I thought we played very well.
Right on.
No, these games are different now because they're not a full three periods. They're just two, correct?
Two 25-minute halves.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and you don't change ends at all. So it's a little bit different, and they do that because of the amount of teams and games that you got to play.
I mean, that extra 10 minutes is just the extra 10 minutes that adds into how many hours at the end of the day.
Exactly.
When it comes to anything that that you didn't like that you saw this weekend, things that you can improve on, do you see some of that or...
Well, I think the first two games, and I just left a player meeting with one of our guys, and the biggest thing was our D-zone coverage I didn't like. We got too many guys just going for skates, and they're not sticking to the structure. And that happens. If you do that, you give up five goals. You play structured, you shut out teams, and you give up one goal, right? So that's the difference, because we all know defense wins championships, but nobody coaches it, nobody stays to it. And if you do that, you're going to put yourself in the chance to win every night. So,
what kind of questions did you have about this team did you have answered? Because, I mean, just looking at the schedule, you had four wins, very convincing. And then you get off the bus, you play two in the first day. And looking at just at the scores, I'm not going to say you guys had the favor returned to you by any means, but one was closer, the other one was a bit more of a gap. But then the next 2 days, you win one, and you're on your bus ride back home. What did you learn about this team?
Well, I learned that they are resilient, right? I mean, these guys want to win, and that was half the battle, right? You really get to see the returners, the older guys, the veterans have to step up, right, and have to really take that role. And I wanted to see who was going to crumble, right? Mm-hmm. You lose two in a row. Now you get smacked in the mouth, and how are you going to face it? How are you going to handle it, right? And that was the conversation that we had after the second night. And listen, you play two games in 4 hours. That's tough.
Jeez.
And these teams are good. No question about it. That's a good division. They were faster. They were big. Westchester was a big team. And we're younger for the most part, especially on the back end, right? So a lot of these guys had no idea how to handle it. So it was a good learning curve, and at the same point, I wanted to see the older guys and say, all right, well, you know what? Suck it up, right? Let's go to work.
Yeah.
All right? We know what we need to do, and you just simplify a few things. Guys tried to do too much. They tried to showcase, you know, and they get caught in the wrong spots, turning the puck over in the wrong areas, and next thing you know, it's in the back of the net, right? So we clean it up. You win the next two games.
Yep.
And that's the way it was. It was just very simple. Stay true to what we're doing and who we are, right? And then build off of that. You know you got guys that can score 6-7 goals, right?
Yeah.
You've seen it already.
Yeah, already seen it.
So now can you keep the puck out of the net, right? And against these teams, you have to play like that, otherwise you're going to get killed.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the goaltending, it's where it's at. It's just like you mentioned, it's the defensive side of it. You know, playing that poke check, playing the hip check, pushing to the outside, intercept, reading that pass, and, you know, do you slide up? What do you do? And it sounds like you kind of got those questions answered.
Well, you know what? Film don't lie, right?
Yeah,
right.
No. Not normally.
You start going through the And you just pause it, and you're like, where are you going? I was just going through it, right, 20 minutes ago. So it's just, and they realize it, okay, well, you know, you talk about it, we're going to talk about it, we're going to talk about it. It's repetition, right? It's just like anything else. And the more you do it, the more you hear it, the more you see it.
Yeah.
Hopefully you get better at it.
Yeah, and you're getting right back at it, too.
Yeah, and we're happy it was a successful trip. Everybody had safe travels, and you are back home. And we mean that double, because we got a home game coming up, our first one of the year. We're excited.
We got four in a row coming up.
Oh, it's very cool. Before I get to that, we'll get there. We'll kind of wrap up right there, Coach. You mentioned something that I thought was interesting in the standings. And the standings are a little different this year than previous years, the way that they're doing this. And I have to be honest with everybody, I learned this just like a week or so ago.
Yeah.
I don't look at standings until like a month into the season of sport, no matter what the level. I just don't really think about it. There's games being played. I'm just excited there's hockey and stuff, and, you know, wins, losses, all that.
I'm the opposite, James. I'm always looking at them.
Right on. So you saw this right away, because I was a little stunned by this. I didn't know that they were doing this differently. I don't remember hearing about it. That's on me if I missed the news and stuff. But they're doing this a bit different now, the way that they're doing the standings, the way I see it.
Why? What do you mean?
Well, it looks like that they're, as far as, like, I'm finding at least that they're putting all the teams together and ranking them. I'm not seeing where their divisions right now and everything, conferences and all that.
Are you sure that's not a filter you have?
No, that's just, no, I know that the filter, yes, I know that, but as far as, I haven't even seen that. I haven't seen that they've been doing that in the past, like where that you can see that, where you can rank all the teams. The River Kings are 20th out of all these USPHL teams. That's pretty darn impressive. That's incredible to me, I thought. I just thought that was really cool just to be able to see that feature.
I think last year...
I should have been more specific about that.
I think last year they had it broken down by each division, right? And it was 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever. And then I think on to the left of it was your national rank.
I think they had that last year. I don't remember seeing that. Okay.
Yeah.
My bad. I thought it might have existed. I just hadn't seen it. Regardless, That's saying something, man. That really is. And where this franchise has gone is really impressive to me. So before we got to our first home games, I just wanted to congratulate
that. Thank you.
That's a credit to you, this ownership, and certainly all these players, all these kids coming to town and hanging out with us. And speaking of coming to town, we've got our first home game this weekend. Very excited about it. We will have these games for you right here at 105.5 WIRI. Hudson Havoc coming to town. They're going to find out what home ice advantage is real quick. We're going to fill that arena. Coach, what have you seen out of Hudson so far this season, and what are you keeping an eye on?
Well, they're definitely better than they were last year.
Oh yeah,
you know, so they're a more skilled team. I think they're faster, you know. So it's going to be a good pace, and again, going to that showcase makes you aware of now this is the tempo we need to play at. I think it's going to be a good test for us.
It's interesting. A lot of sports say, well, now this is when the schedule really starts. Division games start. You guys are always in that. So really, there's nothing but collecting data and hopefully wins with this, right?
Yeah, yeah. You're paying attention to everything that they're doing, right? Mm-hmm. And coaches, you see a score of this game, right? So everybody's playing in the same weekends, right? So you're kind of gauging. Well, if they did this against them, then we should be able to do it.
Yeah.
Listen, you got to play the game, right? So at the end of the day, it's, you know, one mistake here, one mistake there, and it could be 2-3 goal difference. So I think they're a good team. I think it's going to be a fast-paced game. I'm excited. I know the boys are so looking forward to seeing everybody hopefully showing up and supporting us, and it's going to be a fun weekend.
All right, we're going to fill that arena.
What's the deal with all these teams nowadays changing their color scheme to that grayish, bluish black and like the Express, like Hudson has done now? There's more than just those colors.
They got a deal out of this.
They must have.
Program is that color.
So. Well, I know the high schools that they used to be the Purple Raiders, that real navy blue and white.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering.
I think that's where they went there.
One of the many leagues that have tried to get on the ground and everything, I can't remember. It wasn't the XFL. I can't remember which one it was. It was right around that time. But they had like four or five teams, and each one of the places went, and they had these marketing experts that went around and looking for basically the three top colors that young people were into. And so every one of the teams had that color scheme, basically. It was horrible. The league didn't last very long or anything. But just to what you guys are talking about, I swear they get a deal on these colors sometimes. I don't get it. I like our colors. I like our colors. And I like the way we're looking over the next 2 weekends, having these home games. As Michael mentioned, we've got not only home games this weekend, 7 o'clock, all at the South County Rec Center, but on the 24th and 25th, we're back home, taking on the Express. Should be interesting games, too. Have you gotten to check out the Express at all yet?
Sure. Okay. Sure. They got a lot of guys back. They're going to be tough. They're big, physical, fast. I'm excited. But listen, this is the stuff that you want, right? So, and then you got the Blue Ox that are undefeated at 7-0. So, every year's different, right? Every year
really
different.
Is.
It's a new makeup, and you get some returners, and then you got some new guys, and you shake them all together and see what you got. And so everybody's, you know, Steele County's better. Listen, I think we played the two teams that probably are going to struggle more so than the others. So the rest is going to be up for grabs.
Cannot wait to see how it shakes out. We're looking forward to it. We'll be paying attention to it. And, of course, we'll be covering it right here at 105.5. Your home for River Kings home games all season long. It kicks off this weekend. We have a game for you at 7 o'clock. The puck will drop. Be sure to be at the South Dakota County Rec Center. If you can't, we'll have Mike on the call for you at right here at 105.5. Coach, thanks a lot for the time.
Thanks for having me.
We'll take a quick timeout. Michael and I'll be back to wrap up the show here. Playmakers on 105.5 WIRI.
Your brand has the power to hit harder than a Grand Slam champion. And Wicked Awesome Media is here to bring the heat. From custom pens and mugs to branded apparel and swag that serves up serious style, Wham! Delivers championship-level creativity that helps your business crush the competition. Swing by Quality Printing Plus on 8th Street in Wisconsin Rapids or visit whaminc.com. That's WAMINK.com. Wham! Helping brands smash their goals and win every match.
Halloween is my favorite time of the year for creativity and expression. Watching stores decorate in the creepy crawlies and listening to children as they vision this year's costume, small towns create strong communities, and I believe strongly in improvement. I'm Ashley with WIRI Radio, and my mission is to keep small businesses thriving through the power of radio and digital. Did you know that WIRI now reaches 20,000 listeners? Those are 20,000 people who need your service. I grew up here. I have kids here. Who better to understand the needs, struggles, and the gaps in our community? Call 715-496-0710 today. Let's work together to improve your branding, your reach, and your ROI. Take the fear out of advertising with me and discover how having a vested team member will help your business. Please give me a call today. 715-496-0710. Happy Halloween to everyone. I hope you have a frighteningly good holiday.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
105.5 WIRI is your home for country favorites and classics and high school sports. Mike and Randy bring you the action all season long. Proudly brought to you by Rodeo Grill, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Junkyard Bar & Grill, 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, Inc., and Rapids Transmission. WIRI sincerely appreciates the support of our local businesses. Call 715-424-1300 if your business would like to help bring these games to our listeners. 105.5 FM or on to the Civic Media app.
Time to lace up those skates with 105.5 WIRI and your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings. Join us for every home game this season. Take the pride in your team like they do each other. As Coach Paul says,
you got to have everybody buying in, and you got to be playing for the logo.
Hear insights from Coach on Playmakers, and join us for every home game on 105.5 WIRI. Support the boys of winter as they build hockey up and down the river.
Game on!
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight, a low within a few degrees of 40. Increasing clouds for tomorrow, there could be a shower in the late afternoon and evening. Highs in the upper 50s to around 60. And again around 60 on Wednesday and partly sunny. It's 67 right now.
Welcome back, everybody. Playmakers here on 105.5 WIRI. Michael and James here with you. Thank you to Mr. Gill playing us in, but I don't know this one. That's a weird title. That is an interesting worded title right there. But Vince Gill, man, one of the good ones. And one of the good ones just joined us, Coach Paul being with us. A big shout-out to him. Big thank you to him for joining us. Looking forward to talking with him again real soon, especially after this weekend and seeing how these games go, Michael. How are you feeling about getting ready to call some hockey this weekend?
I'm excited about it. I think some of the soccer that I've been able to broadcast. I've always said hockey and soccer. It's soccer is hockey on grass and vice versa.
Yeah.
And I think I've been able to warm up a little bit with it. I've just got to recall some of the numbers and names and just learn the ones, pronunciations, and go from there. But I'm looking forward to it.
Taking a look at our 105.5 WIRI sports schedule. Don't have any high school sports this week. We're taking a week off. That helps out our board ops a little bit and everything. But we will be back at it with River Kings hockey this weekend. As I mentioned before, Friday, Saturday, 7 o'clock puck drop. River Kings hosting the Hudson Havoc right here in Rapids. Fill up the South Dakota County Rec Center. Let them know what home ice advantage is. Michael is going to be calling both of those games for you, everybody. Cannot wait to hear it. I'm glad you brought this up earlier. I did not get a chance to. I wanted to credit you about the Nakusa game Friday. I got to hear a lot of it. While I had the Mariner game going on, I had you going on.
Oh, boy.
And it was exciting. It was a lot of fun. And I loved the end of the game. Great calls there. Nice work. Just nice work, man.
No, I appreciate it. You know,
you're getting only stronger and stronger at the craft.
I'm still learning. There's a lot of learning going on.
That's the most exciting part of this, man, where you are already and you're still learning and still growing.
This week's newsletter will be the 52nd that I put out. I've been doing the sports section there for a year now, so I'm looking for the big contract, and I might hold out. And
right on. Oh, no. Get to 55. That's what you do. You get to 55,
okay.
Dead, you
all
start.
Right. Yep. Oh, okay. See, I'm learning.
credit to you, and a shout-out to that newsletter and the team behind it.
Yeah, Melissa does a great job with that.
I've mentioned this a couple of times. I don't know if he's the best in the game by any means, but easily, as far as the professional announcers go, it's Kevin Harlan for me, hands down.
He's
my guy.
He's top notch.
I love listening to Kevin Harlan. And one of the things I like about Kevin Harlan is how he can do the job so professionally while not taking himself too seriously. I don't know how he does it. I wish I knew, because I would love to be able to learn to do that.
That's what I kind of try to do. It's, you know, I'll be the first one to make a joke about myself.
it's one of the things. I love self-deprecation. I'm a big fan of it. If you've listened to me for 5 seconds, you can probably figure that out. But Kevin Harlan did an interview recently on the Dan Le Batard show. And Dan is an interesting interviewer. He's somebody I look up to quite a bit. I admire Dan, and I think he's a great individual, let alone good at the work. But just an interesting guy. His intros to a conversation could be quite interesting. But he gets something out of guests that not everybody gets out of guests. And part of it is when you see this kind of like a relaxed person like Kevin Harlan kind of letting their guard down and just talking. And I thought he asked a really great question. Whether he stumbled into it or he planned it, I don't know. But now, are there calls, you know, what your favorite calls are? And of course, that's an easy question. Kevin Harlan's name and a couple. But well, what about calls you wish you could have made? And I don't know if Dan asked it or Kevin Harlan just kind of brought it up, but I thought it was really cool. And he brought up the Marshawn Lynch touchdown we talked about earlier, the Beastquake.
Uh-huh.
And I want that to be a new thing. I want to hear announcers calling other famous plays. I want to hear Kevin Harlan calling that play.
That'd be cool.
I just like to hear that.
On a TV TV station, they do rivalries, and they'll bring players and even broadcasters back to do games that either the players are part of and give them that insight of the game, or they'll come back and they'll do, how would you have broadcast this or that? And like the one that I've partially seen, there was the NFL NFC 1995 championship game between Dallas and Green Bay. And then, of course, they bring Emmett and Irvin in on that. I think they bring Moose Johnson, but I know they do bring some broadcasters in on some of these games, and it's neat. It's unfortunate that they bring the broadcasters in from that game.
Yeah.
But, man, that You got an idea for a show there, buddy.
I'd love to see that. And, shout out to Kevin Harlan. He's one of the great ones. The AP Top 25, of course, came out Sunday. Indiana is ranked third, and they got a first place vote.
Yep.
It's just crazy. It has not become normal to me yet, what's going on there. Ole Miss being number five is a little bit crazy, too. And Georgia Tech at number 12, Haynes Kang. If not your favorite player in college football, should be one of your favorite players in college football is Haynes King.
Okay.
He is electric. He is so much fun. He is not that Georgia Tech's got some nice pieces, but he's basically everything Georgia Tech has. And he's everything I love about college quarterbacks.
Where did they drop Oklahoma to?
13.
That ain't bad.
No, and I like that they actually handled it well, I thought, because I think that there was a lot of factors that they took into consideration with that game. I'm not trying to give Oklahoma any excuses or anything like that, but I think you'd be a fool if you look at that and think that both teams were at 100%.
No.
Obviously, it went a certain way and everything, but I think that it could have been a lot different had that game been played 3 weeks ago, a month ago, or something like that. I think it ends the same way, just opposite. I think you see Oklahoma dominating that game.
Well, it just brings a question of, Mateer. You maybe should have sat this one out. That was the little bit that I got to see of it, because I was doing stuff around, setting up some stuff around the house that I'm like, what? The defense was the defense. Whatever. But they had three interceptions. I think one was a pick six. I'm thinking, that's not Mateer. That's, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see if they play this next week, or if they get beat again, if he just says, no, maybe I'm just going for the draft and I'll peace out. See you guys later.
Yeah, I will say that their backup is, you still can win some games with,
yes,
for sure.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And they're sitting in a good position there. And, you have to think about with every single university, no matter how big or small, the big picture. And, this is great for Oklahoma this year. This is something that they're building. They've been building this, and they're only going to, I don't know if they're going to get stronger, but they're not going down. I think if you're an Oklahoma fan, if you're an Oklahoma fan, you got to look at Nebraska and you got to think, okay, that could be us.
Yeah.
That easily could be us. No. We got to make darn sure that does not turn into us.
How much do the donors get upset and tired of Venables?
Yeah. Let's take a quick call. Good afternoon. You're in the game.
Hey, quick stat for you guys. I heard you talk about Robbie earlier. Sorry to go back to baseball. Today that he has caught 17,000 pitches this year, and he has yet to succumb to a passed ball.
Whoa. That's about as impressive as the hitting 20 from both sides of the plate to me.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
Wow.
Yeah. I had not heard that.
Oh, by the way, he's got 60 home runs, too.
Right, yeah. I got to say, man, I know what I said earlier, and I meant it. I didn't mind if Detroit had moved on or anything. I really wanted to see this guy keep playing. I wanted this season to continue for him. I wanted the Mariners just in general, and I think it's the old Griffey love I had.
Yeah.
But now it's right. I'm also seeing it for what it is. I want this storyline to continue into the World Series. I don't, win or lose, I don't really care about that part. I just want to see this guy in a World Series. He's everything you love about baseball. He gets it. He plays it.
Yeah.
He's a team player. Mm-hmm. He wanted to stay in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cool story.
He's everything you want until he plays the Brewers in the World Series.
Right. Then it's all completely different for everybody. Appreciate the call, man.
Yep. Go Brewers. Michael Jordan is still the GOAT. Have a good one.
Have a good one, man. Have a good one, brother. Appreciate the best listeners of radio joining us. Michael, in our last minutes here, I wanted to get to this, and we'll talk more about this later in the week.
Yeah.
We are going to be joined this Friday here on Playmakers by new assistant GM for Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. Tess is going to be joining us. Looking forward to that. Her and I have been talking a little bit behind the scenes here. And we have a new head coach going to be in the dugout for your Rafters over at Winterfield this summer. Grant Stevens is going to be the new head coach. Grant was a pitching development coach for the University of Oklahoma. Your boys.
Boomer!
Yeah, Boomer Sooner. He's also involved in recruiting, and he was involved in recruiting there and everything as well, and scouting. I love a manager that has that background. That pulls me in right away. I'm a big fan of
Coach Shinoto, recruiting,
yep,
right there.
Yep, yep. So, as good of a sign as you're going to get at this level and what we know of the man and everything, but I'm looking forward to getting to know him and everything. I do wish Coach Ziggy all the best.
Oh, yeah. Good guy. I liked him.
Appreciated him and everything, but, sometimes you need a change of pace. And at this level, where the Northwoods League is, you get a change of pace whether you want it or not. A lot of times guys are moving on and everything, just like the players and stuff.
Yeah. So very much so.
It happens. But we'll be covering it. We'll be covering Rafter baseball all winter long, and we're going to be joined by the Rafters in a little bit here, and we are excited about River Kings hockey going on this weekend. Just a lot happening sports-wise, and God, do we love it. Thankfully, we have three shows to cover it. We'll be back on Wednesday and Friday to do just that. We'll be talking sports with you. Want to get into the college and NFL schedules with you on Wednesday, Michael, and we'll talk a little bit about more Kings and stuff.
Oh, for sure.
Great show today, man.
You too, man.
And great show by all of you out there. Thanks to Coach Paul for joining us. Have a great night, everybody.
Live from Central Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app, 105.5 WIRI, Nakusa, Wisconsin Rapids, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 105.5 WIRI.
Hello and welcome to Laura's Lounge on 105.5 FM WIRI. My name is Laura and I'm happy to be here with you guys on this Monday evening, afternoon. Either way, I hope y'all are well. Let's kick things off with Toby Keith.
Got thirsty hitchhikers and the girls.